The hottest Knicks tape you'll find online. Knicks all day. We bleed blue and orange. This is Knicks Fan TV, your one-stop shop for the ultimate New York Knicks fan experience.
Throws it down.
News, rumors, debates, post-game live streams featuring live callers.
Let's go Knicks, baby!
And now, your host, CP, the NY Fanatic.
Right, here we go. Last game before the All-Star break. Knicks at home against the Pistons. Looking to make quick work out of Dennis Smith Jr. and his new team. Wasn't always easy, but led by the MVP, the All-Star Julius. 27 points, 16 boards, 7 dimes. Julius flexing his All-Star muscles tonight. Led the way. RJ Barrett got in his bully bag early, in his passing bag early, got the job done. And welcome back Elfrid Payton, who says, don't think I'm not starting. That point guard spot is all mine. Payton chips in with 20 points. So all in all, Knicks run away with it. 114 to 104. And wrap up the first half over 500, 19 and 18.
Sure.
Let's get it going. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs up button for your squad. CP Ashley Moss, J. Ellis. Knicks postgame live, number one show for the fans by the fans. J. Ellis, how are you feeling tonight, man? Give me some thoughts on this game, bro.
I'm feeling good, man. Tonight went how I wanted it to go, how I thought it would go. Easy victory. We all look good. Julius Randle, he's proving that he's an all-star. Mm-hmm. Elfrid Payton came in the game, and he's like, I want my job. Yeah, I'm not going to for your head top.
Yep,
take that. Listen, we scored a lot of points in the paint. I think we had, like, let's see.
Over 50 for sure.
Yeah, over 50 points. 60, yeah, points in the paint, 60 to 38. Half of the reason that was happening because Elfrid Payton was living in the paint along with Julius Randle and RJ Barrett.
Well, we know who was guarding Payton, too, so no surprise.
Yeah, turnstile. The turnstile was open today. Turnstile traveled from New York to Detroit, and the turnstile was open today.
Exactly. Shout out to DSJ, though.
Shout out to DSJ. But, you know, this game blew open when we, it was an 11-2 run in the second quarter, and that's when the game started to blow open. The second unit tried to give the game away. I'm in the fourth, but we held on, and that was the game.
Yeah, second shooting struggled a little bit, but still got it done. Ashley, how you feeling? What are you thinking?
Listen, two words: complimentary basketball. That's what was played today. We played both sides of the ball offensively. Everybody got involved. All of our starters had double digits tonight. Defense was impeccable. I mean, listen, Bullock was on Ellington like white on rice. Yeah. That man could not breathe. But not only that, because everybody got involved with defense, it allowed RJ to do what RJ does best, and that's drive it to the rim. The lane was open. We were, you know, making it easy for our guys to kind of make these offensive plays. Not only that, but Julius Randle was out there doing what he does best. He was also doing a great job, and not only offensively putting up points himself, but also getting everybody else involved offensively. And I mean, I gotta give credit where credit is due. Shout out to the French Prince.
Frank Hive, let's go.
Frank Hive in the building. No doubt.
Are you not entertained?
Frank Hive is activated because he was raining those threes all the way from the Eiffel Tower. It was just everybody was
cash out the KOT shoes.
Everybody was doing their part today, and this is what you're supposed to do at home, and this is what you're supposed to do against teams like the Pistons. Yeah. And we did what we had to do, and I'm glad we're going into the break over 500. Everybody put over 500 in the chat.
Over 500. Over 500, man. 19 and 18, and I got to start with Julius once again, man. You know, Julius once again, 27 points, 16 boards, 7 dimes, Ash. As you said, he was trying to get his guys involved early. Definitely did that. Him and Bullock obviously have that chemistry, so they had it clicking. That baseline Julius is automatic, man. There was a stat, the hottest shooters per zone in the league, and Julius had the best percentage in the league on that those baseline jumpers, man. He's starting to patent that move. It's like his go-to move, but really just his overall patience with everything, his decision-making. Again, this has been an incredible first half for him, a complete 180, you know, from where he came from last year. And, you know, just happy for him, man. Absolutely happy for him. He came out with the article in Players Tribune today, and it was a great article for anybody who missed it. And to me, the thing that stood out to me was basically where he said, you know, more than any other team he's been on, this Knick team feels like they have a collective purpose.
Right.
You know, and that's big because I think it speaks to not just his, you know, metamorphosis, but the overall team, the culture.
Yeah.
We talked about it. We wanted the foundation to be, you know, start to be set in a serious way and get a culture going. And that's on Tibbs. You know, that's on Tibbs and that's on Julius really turning things around. And so, you know, you can't go to the well with the same takes that the LOL Knicks or the toxic environment or the Dolan-ness. They're turning things around, man. And Julius is putting it out there. So very happy to see his performance.
And one of the things I loved, and let me get the exact quote because it was a good one. Mm-hmm. He said, I was so disappointed in myself for how that first had gone. It felt like a blown opportunity. It felt like I had cemented my reputation in the opposite way that I wanted to. Selfish, not a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And the last part of that really stuck with me also. I really only had one option, come out this season and establish a new one. So a lot of the times, you know, especially just in life, not only just in basketball, you really never get an opportunity to make a second first impression. And, you know, Randall is just showcasing not only how difficult it was for him to know that he made a terrible first impression, especially with Knicks fans being so excited about him joining the team last season, but I think it also just speaks to his leadership. It's hard as a person to realize you failed. And I think, you know, being able to do that self-realization and say, look, I messed up, and showcasing how grateful he is to the New York fan base to say, look, thank you for giving me a second chance because this is what I'm going to do with it. And he's showcasing that each and every game, that this is the leader that he really is. And last season was a fluke. This Julius Randle is here to stay. And listen, I was driving the Julius Randle Express from day one, and I'm still on it. All aboard. He is a
Exactly, CP.
He's a Nick. Hey, I was on it too. I told you this was going to happen, man. I told you this was going to happen. but you know, as you said on the whole accountability thing, everything that we knocked him for, he already knew. That's what he said in that article. So when fans were like, oh, y'all trashing, you trashing, we just put it out there from what we saw. He saw the same thing, and he came back a better player. You know what I'm saying, JS? Go ahead, bro.
Nah, you're absolutely right. Like, and that was this part that stood out to me too, the accountability part. Yeah. And is like, and the thing is, like, we're around Nick's Twitter. Like, he's listening to what's going on.
Yeah. A couple people got blocked
he
in
knew
the fridge.
Exactly where I was
Not
going.
Me. Me and him is cool, but I don't know. Some of the other guys take it south a little too far.
I didn't get blocked. I got blocked by Joe Budden, but me and him are still cool.
Me too.
Y'all savages, man. Y'all need
proper. I don't know what I did.
Your Twitter
Joe.
Etiquette is not up to snuff. Your Twitter etiquette is not up to snuff.
You know, going to that accountability thing, and also, you know, you can as a player either take the criticism, especially New York criticism, obviously in different team markets, it's a little bit different. The criticism is a little bit softer, but New York, you know, we don't call it the New York grits for nothing. The fan base holds no punches. And you can either let that do one or two things. You can either let it put a chip on your shoulder and be like, man, y'all know what you're talking about. Like, whatever.
Yeah,
you
be
know,
stubborn about it.
I'm on the court. You can take the bitter route, or you can do what Julius Randle did and be like, look, they're right. It's actual factual facts, and I got to do better. And he took the second route, and we are. So
for the right player, bullying works.
Don't listen to that, kids at home. But yes, it's true. Yeah.
For the right player.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Good advice in a cyberbullying
society. We're not advocating for cyberbullying. Don't trip off the YouTube algorithm, James. Please, Julius getting selected by Team KD. I didn't like he was the 18th pick of the draft, but we'll let it slide. Team KD selects Julius. We'll go through the rosters in a little while. Back to the game. RJ. I thought RJ set a great tone tonight.
Hashtag Nine
Guy. Nine Guy was in his bag early. I loved how he was facilitating early, finding his teammates. Five dimes for RJ. He got out there early. Just opposed his will. You know, there was no run on the. Let's be honest. The Pistons weren't out there playing any defense.
No, they weren't.
The only thing stopping the Knicks' offense was themselves because they're just not an overall good offense. But, you know, RJ came out, took care of business, got to the line, did his thing. 21 points, five dimes for RJ, one or two from downtown. JL, give me your thoughts on RJ tonight.
Yeah, pretty much said it all, man. I actually wanted more assists from RJ today. I'm just
He could have. Yeah, I thought he could have had him.
Yeah, yeah, because he had five. I feel like he had five assists by halftime or close or a little bit after halftime. I'm like, oh, he might go for eight today, but he didn't. But that's nitpicking considering the game that RJ had, man. Like you said, he blew by anybody he wanted to all the time. He went to that left hand repeatedly, hit the mid-range game. It was just a really easy night for RJ, and it's classic RJ. Now it's classic RJ.
Yeah.
Before, people were saying, oh, trade RJ because he had a bad week. Y'all looking crazy.
Don't
right
say
now.
Y'all people.
Crazy. Y'all looking crazy.
RJ.
Y'all looking crazy right now. I didn't say you, Ash. I said y'all know who y'all are.
Yeah, the RJ critics, we go hard on him, man. They go hard on RJ, man. But good bounce back win, and I think I got to go back to his three-point numbers over the last 10 games. It's been pretty good, man. He's definitely upping his percentage a little bit. Let me go to the numbers here for his three-pointers.
Yeah, he should be 34% games. From three right now when before he was around in the 20s.
Right now, he is at last 10, he's shooting 55% from three.
Last 10.
Stats right now, he's at 34%. 34.7% for RJ right now from three. 34.7% for RJ right now. So, great job by him. Ash, what do you think about the nine guy tonight?
Listen, and speaking to what JLS pointed out about the mid-range game, I just am really excited to see that it's starting to become more comfortable for RJ to get in that bag. We already know he can drive it to the rim. We already know he's just elusive when it comes to getting in and out, weaving in and out of defenses. But that mid-range game is going to be the difference maker for him, especially until he can develop a long-range game. And I'm glad to see that starting to become more and more part of his game as the season progresses. And he's getting more and more comfortable in that bag. And because he's more comfortable, the shots are starting to fall more and more. So I'm just really excited about the trajectory of RJ. I'm excited to see what he's going to look like after the All-Star break. And it's just, listen, RJ is exceeding a lot of people's expectations. I think a lot of people kind of counted RJ out, especially after his rough rookie year. But those Duke kids, man, they're something special. As much as I hate to say it because I'm a UNC fan, but you know, but I'm just really excited to see RJ in his bag and he's in it.
Yeah, definitely. Also got to go back to Nerlens. Nerlens Noel on the defensive end, back in his Mutombo bag once again. not even with two blocks but four steals to go along with 12 points and 11 boards. They actually found him on the Gotham Lobs tonight. Give credit. Give credit to Peyton. I don't remember if RJ called him for one or not, but at least on the defensive side of things and the rim running, you know, Nerlens has been doing his thing, man, in Mitch's absence. And as we go into this extended All-Star break, I thought they, you know, he did a very commendable job during that stretch and just holding it down for Mitch.
Yeah, seamless, man. He's been playing around 40 minutes a night since Taj and Mitch has gone down, and his production has been pretty steady. I mean, he can't catch sometimes, but the defensive end, you're looking for at least one send-back block that makes your face go, oh, my God, at least one of those again.
Threw it on Demboya. Demboya.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Don't try that.
Yeah, and today was no exception, and even I feel like his rebounding has been picking up even recently.
Mm-hmm.
So complete, really good all-around game from Nerlens Noel. And even today, I think he was perfect from the field today, 5 from 5. So, yeah, nice job, Nerlens Noel.
Yeah, that's a fact. Ash, that boy Peyton, we didn't know who was going to play point guard today because they said Frank had a bruised quad, so we thought we was going to have to get him a body cast. He ended up playing. D-Rose was out. Peyton comes back with a hamstring and says, you know what? You know, easy on that start, you know, easy on the point guard rotation. He had DSJ guarding him, so obviously that was a little bit easy. But you gotta, you know, applaud Peyton's aggressiveness tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Efficient, 7-14 from the field. Mm-hmm. He hits 1 3-pointer, 5 for 6 from the free throw line, 20 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals for Peyton. So, you know, he came through when we needed him. Can't front there.
Peyton's like that one ex who always like creeps back into your phone just to see if you'll still answer the text messages.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that person when that you're moving on, and it's like, let me just text like, "What's up, big head? How you doing?"
The you up text.
I think he was realizing that everybody was heading to the Frank Express. Everyone was a part of, you know, jumping into the Frank Hive, and he was like, No, not so fast. I'm back and I'm going to have a good game. So I'm now, you know, now your feelings are all over the place. So it's definitely going to be confusing for the fans, but it's definitely going to be confusing for Tibbs. That much I know.
Sticking with the X analogy, though, right?
Yeah, let's hear it, bro.
Sticking with the X analogy, though, right? What usually happens when that X
don't
comes
don't name
back?
Names, JLs. Don't name names.
Listen, you fucking on. Names, what just usually easy, happens easy. When that X comes back, all right? They act good for the first week. So and then they're right back to the old tricks.
Exactly. Right back to the old tricks.
So he might be looking good around. He's on his best behavior. You know what I'm saying? He's giving you compliments.
Yeah.
He's hitting the shots. He's like, but who knows how long this is gonna last.
Hey, yo,
so you gotta bring back the bros, the Derrick Rose, right?
Peyton just posted that thirst trap on Insta to make sure you hit that
right. Okay, let him know he still got it, man. Gotta let you know he still got it.
Just left the gym.
It's gonna be some decisions to make for Tibbs, man. Definitely gonna be some decisions to make for Tibbs. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs up button for your squad. CP Ashley Moss, JL's in here. 19-18 on the campaign. Knicks win 114-104. How you guys feel, man? Give us a call, 657-383-1509. Let us know how you're feeling. Do we need to do a giveaway? Do we need to do a giveaway tonight to wrap up the first half? What do you guys think, man? Leave a comment in the chat. What do you guys think?
There's 1,200, almost 1,300 people in this chat, which it should be. We just won. We're going into the All-Star break above 500.
Facts.
But the math's not adding up. There's only 337 likes. I need more likes. And
let's get those likes up.
That thumbs down, you're dusty, you're crusty.
Let's get those likes up.
Simp TV activated.
Yeah, all right. we got to activate it early, man.
Maybe if we get those 1,000 likes, maybe we can do a giveaway.
1,000 likes for the giveaway. You heard the lady. 1,000 likes for the giveaway. Hit that thumbs up button for your squad. We had a good week. So let me salute some super chats before we go to the phone. Joshua B said, Frank is giving us what we need from Bullock. Yeah, Frank came in, went 3-for-3 in the second quarter. From downtown. That was encouraging. Didn't hear from him after that, but, you know, overall, good job by Frank. King Matthew says Obi's going to win the dunk contest. I'm calling it right now. Who's he going up against? It's Obi. It's three people in there. Obi. I got to double check the list. I wasn't too enthused.
I know Zach Levine should be in it, but he's not.
Yeah, I got to double check. It's Obi. Who's in the dunk contest this year? I think Obi can win it. You know what I mean? I think
his father's dunker's delight. Like, he has to win it, right?
I think Obi can take it.
A rite of passage.
Yeah, he doesn't.
You got to represent. Just don't bring out the crazy props and whatnot. Like, Anthony Simmons, Cassius Stanley, Obi.
Yo, definitely Obi can win this.
Yeah.
It was definitely also alluded to that Randall may or may not be part of Obi's dunk.
Oh, really?
That Randall may or may not be part of the shenanigans. We got Nick on the crime here going on. So
that could go either way. It could go left.
Yeah, like is he gonna throw a pass?
Yeah, we gotta see, man. We gotta see, man. But yeah, I think Obi can take it. I think Obi can take it.
I think so too.
And then they said Randall's in the skills competition. All right, whatever. That's cool too. That's cool. King Matthew says Randall is going to win the skills challenge, calling it right now. I didn't even know that was coming next, Jails. I didn't even know. He said Randall's the king of NYC.
So he's definitely going to win, man. Especially if there's like a spin move challenge, he's winning that.
Yeah.
And also, shout out to our boy RJ for being in the Rising Star game.
Rising Stars,
Our boy IQ, but that, you know, the different.
They left IQ out. They're not playing it this year. I don't know if there's any, you know, financial incentive in there. If there is, then I say, you know, they really need to consider it because they got guys like DeAndre Hunter in there. He hasn't played in weeks. He's been injured. And so I don't know, like, you know, like they have all-star bonuses. I don't know if they have rising star bonuses. If they do, then IQ certainly has a case.
And also, I definitely think that I would personally take Michael Porter out and put IQ in just because, yes, I know Michael Porter didn't play his rookie year, but his draft was 2017. I believe.
Man, get him up out of here.
The way I look at it, though, Rising Stars for me should not be more than 2 years, two seasons.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Draft class. Like, he was 3 years ago. Like, we get it.
Get him up out of here, man.
Season, but you gotta go. Like,
I mean, even like this, like, come on, man. Like, he's been like the third best rookie.
Yeah.
In the class's ear. So if your name is not like LaMelo Ball, Halliburton, I feel like he has a case above everybody else, to be honest with you.
Nah, IQ got to get up in there, man.
Yeah.
That was just blasphemy. IQ has to get up in there. Sure. Let's get to the phones. My guy Benji's on the line. Benji, what's going on, bro?
Hey, what's up, y'all? Obviously, we needed to win this game tonight. So we took care of business. No style points, but we you know, we brought out the energy early and beat a bad team that was missing, obviously, Jeremy Grant. But obviously, Noel was fantastic tonight. Definitely one of the better games he's played this year. He's really, really been good. But we got to get him some help, man. 42 minutes is too much for him. So we got to find some sort of body out there. I don't know if it's Festus Ezeli or somebody like that, but we got to get somebody here to give him some assistance. And then also, I just want to call out, I thought Bullock was really good tonight, despite him missing a bunch of open threes. I think his defense was suffocating, as Clyde said.
Yeah.
He was draped all over Ellington and Bay at times all night. So, yeah, what do you guys think? You think we can pick up a big man? You think we're going to get – we're going to call up Ezeli to give us just a body? Is that those minutes on Noel are too much? And I just don't think that's going to work out in the long run if we play it this much.
Yeah, you got to see what it is. You know, Ezeli did. They did pick up Festus Ezeli for the G League from the Warriors championship days. So they did sign him. Obi only got 12 minutes tonight. Obviously, you know, he's not going to play the five.
Yeah. I mean, it's one. And then Miles Powell is out too. So
Miles Powell's going to the Bucks, but I mean, he can't play the five.
Yeah, I'm saying it's like an extra spot, maybe like maybe I don't know.
Got you. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to come trade deadline, you know, or do they just bring Ezeli up? But it all depends on Mitch's timeline. All depends on Mitch's timeline.
And even Taj's timeline, because Taj should be back by, I would think, a week. Right? How bad is his injury?
Who knows? Because the Alec Burks sprained ankle, that was a minute. That was a couple weeks, bro. That was like
Yeah, that's crazy. But that's not usually that's not usually the timetable for a sprained ankle. Like usually, a sprained ankle is a week to 2 weeks.
Yeah, typically.
Timetable. Does anybody know?
I sprained my ankle so many times, so that's why I know.
Who's timetable?
Mitch.
Mitch has been
eight, right? It was like a month, right?
Mm-hmm. It was like a month and a half to around. Yeah, a month and a half to
back. Hopefully, what, like 2 weeks after the break ends?
You gotta hope. I'm sure you get reevaluated and then see. You know, you gotta see how it's healing, how it's healing up.
Yeah, they got to be reevaluated. Then they're probably going to have to make him do some. You know, they like to have these guys play before they actually just get on the court. So they have to reevaluate him. And then he has to do some, you know, some drills, 5-on-5, 4-on-4, and all those things until he comes back on court.
Yep. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for your squad. If you guys are new in the chat, leave us a hashtag new. Also, throw your cities in the chat. Let us know where you guys are checking in from. We'll shout you out. And let's get back to the phones. Oh, this is going to be a good one. I don't know which Will from the Bronx this is, but we're going to know right away. Will from the Bronx, what's going on?
It's him. What? Booty, booty, a doody, booty. What? A doody, booty.
Oh, he did the remix on us tonight.
First, to violating that on his own show. Mobb Deep and had the white boy.
Yeah.
Prodigy, though.
And how about this, Will? How about this?
Crazy.
They want to bring in a Skip Bayless. Did you guys hear that? ESPN was so flustered after I bodied Max on his own show that they offered Skip Bayless the bag just to bring him back. It was that much of a frenzy going on over there. Ethan,
yo,
on his own
yo,
show.
Yo, I'm so bad. But yo, I am filled with wild hysteria.
Always.
Yo, guys, let's really look at your life right now. Knicks are above 500
in the
All-Star break. Yeah. We have an All-Star. We have RJ. You already know RJ gonna ball out Rising Stars game. Mm-hmm. We got Obi in the dunk contest. Like, what is – Frank is getting buckets.
What is going on?
What is going on? I was this close to buying a ticket back home, bro. So close, bro. So close. But shout out to him. He's balling. I thought he was done. Like, I thought they had the coffin ready for him and everything. I thought he was done.
Jesus Christ.
IQ, definitely getting snubbed. They need to change that USA versus world format. Yeah, I hate that question. Oh my god. IQ, he gonna show them though. He gonna show them. Yeah.
They're not playing.
He's gonna show
them what's up. Yeah.
But I'm stupid hype. I don't even know what to say.
It's all right, man. We appreciate you, man. We appreciate you. My man Will came in with the remix of the original song. Yeah, his calls hilarious, man.
Out of control.
His calls are definitely hilarious. Let's salute some people in the chat, man. I want to salute Steven Rosa checking in from, he said, Slam Diego. No doubt. Salute Steven Rosa. What's going on? Let me shout out Beast Mode G. He said, hashtag new MVP Rose is going to lead us to the promised land. Mm. All right. Who else we got on team? Hashtag new. Ice Handsome. What's good? Richard Graves. How you feeling? Ben. Somebody got a YouTube named Ben. He says, hashtag old. So salute to Ben. Okay. Christian Grisales. Hashtag new. You know what I'm saying? Ashley, you want to shout out in the chat?
Let me shout out Eric L. Booker from Brooklyn.
BK in the building, no doubt, no doubt.
Let me shout out Kisong Powell, I think I'm saying it right, Jamaica Queens. Shout out to Queens. Home of my daddy, he's from Hollis. One time for Hollis,
right,
Queens.
No doubt, okay.
Building. Shout out to Chuck D for always rocking with
the
us.
Rhyme Animals in the building. Throw a PD in the chat for Chuck D.
Shout out to Staten Island in the building, home of the Wu-Tang Clan. Yep. And just shout out to everybody rocking with us on the last show before the break.
Last show before the break, man. JLS, how about you?
Yo, shout out to my cousin Winston, yo. Winston Ellis rocking me all the time.
Doesn't miss a show, man.
Yeah, he don't miss a show, yo. Tyrone the Champion, shout out to you, Paul P. Nicholas Scratch, that sound like another DJ name I can play with later if you come back.
We can figure that one out.
Tony Curry, Ice Handsome. All right, I see you feeling yourself. All right, and Nick J, shout out to you, Nick J.
No doubt. Also, shout out Farish Muthana, team hashtag new, and Pedro Race from Portugal.
Young Simba's in here.
A young Simba. Nah,
there you go. Nice. That's how you bounce back, bro. That's how you bounce
back. I wasn't gonna do it, but I want.
No doubt. Salute Ivan Omar checking in from Malaysia as well. Yeah, we got people from all over here, man. Make sure you guys are hitting that thumbs up. If we're closing in on 1,000, Dave, you could send out the send out the form now, and then we'll figure out what the fate is for the chat by the end of the show.
Shout out to the fake Julius Randle in the chat saying,
fake Julius Randle is in the building. Julius is here. Good
congrats
game,
to the All-Star, Julius.
Yeah, congrats, man. Let's go to Teron Mosley in Brooklyn. Teron, how you feeling?
Hey, how y'all doing, man? How's everything with you?
Good, bro. What's going on? How you feeling?
I'm feeling all right, man. I just want to talk about tonight's game. It was a good game, good win tonight with the guys. Yo, I'm just tired of Tibbs, man.
Oh, my God.
You got to give Obi the rock.
Well, yes.
You got to find Obi in these spots. Man.
Yeah. Yeah, and appreciate the call, man. You know, we all looking for Obi, man. We all looking for Obi to get activated. Yeah. You know, he had that one, one play in the post. JLS, he thought he was about to make a move on Dembuya, and then tries to like reset it back to IQ and set up like a pick and roll. I just want to see him attack, man. Regardless if you're gonna get blocked, like just make a beast mode move to the rim and see what happens.
You know what I'm saying? He's a team guy.
Yeah, forget
he's
them.
He's a team guy. Pick and roll, pick a pop, post, kick it out to you. He's a team guy, so he's not gonna chuck. That's just who he is.
Just get aggressive, man. Yeah. Zero free throw attempts again, JLS. It's just I get it with him, but that's come on, bro.
He doesn't even get the ball. And to be fair, too. In general, there wasn't a lot of free throws in this whole game.
No, it wasn't a lot. I think everybody was trying to go home and wrap it up early. But it's just too many nights with Obi, man. He gets zero free throw attempts. Just attack and test the whistles out, bro. Don't be afraid, man.
Yeah, but he has to get the ball too. That's why I don't even get on him like that. Like if he touched the ball more, then I can be like, yeah, he should. But if he touched the ball 5 times a game. And then shoots three. I'm not gonna be like, you should attack because it's up to the guards to give him the ball.
There's there's a few avenues that you can take with Obi. Obviously, I'm a big fan of the G League. I'm not going to reiterate that entire point, but you know how I feel about it. Unless, you know, obviously, unless people are okay with the fact that Obi's just not going to get there this season, hopefully next season when you have some more normalcy, maybe he can go ahead and flourish, and then next season you'll see a different Obi. That you don't know until it happens. Two is, listen, Obi is not going to get the ball more than he's getting it, so he needs to, attributing to CP's point, he needs to make more of the minutes that he is getting, and he's not doing that. Yeah. He's not going up aggressive. He's not playing
aggressive, man. That's what, like, I want to see. Aggressive.
You know that Tibbs watching you like a hawk. You know that your minutes are limited. You know the plays are not designated for you, designed for you, rather. When you are in a moment to showcase what you can do, showcase it. If you got to put on some weight, put on some weight. Get out there and bully people. Get gully. You're from Brooklyn. Like, come on. Like, play some street ball. Like, what are you doing? Like, or just got to be okay with, this is the situation that's at hand. You got to realize, like, look, you're not going to get more minutes. You're not going to get more plays designed for you. And just go out there, do what you can. Don't take it to heart when things aren't going your way, but come back and be a different person next season. That's the only option. Hopefully after the All-Star break, if he wins a slam dunk competition, he'll come in with some swagger and some energy in his game. But something's not clicking for Obi. Yeah. I'm not quite sure what it is yet.
4 points, 2 of 2.
I know what it is. He don't get the ball. He don't play.
It's not like he never gets touches. They maybe.
No, not never. Just three to five times a game for 9 minutes.
What are you doing with it?
What are you doing with it? That's like,
what are you doing with it?
It's like the Eminem song. You only got one shot. Yeah. Like, you know, it's the only time you got to showcase what you
can do.
Just go with it, man.
Yo, here's the thing.
Here's your opportunity. You're not anything.
Here's the thing. There was like a week stretch where Obi was balling. And this version of Obi balling was him getting the ball 3 times in a row and then making a shot and going 3 for 3, 3 for 4, 2 for 3. And even when he's balling, he then gets taken out the game for Randle. So it's like, and that's when he's balling at his peak. You know what I mean? When he had it going. Yeah. Now you're playing 9 minutes a game and you have 3 minutes to get it going. Otherwise, you're getting pulled. And you saw it happened today. When the second unit got it in the fourth quarter and the lead started to dwindle, who's the first person to get in the game?
Yeah, it was Julius.
Julius Randle.
Yeah, it was Julius. He took him out.
He was the first one out. So it's just like, his window to play good is so small that it's almost impossible. It's almost impossible for me to over criticize him for not taking over the game.
And it's not criticizing, bro. But zero free throw attempts.
How do you get free throws?
When you get the ball and attack, bro. When you get the ball, don't tell me he hasn't gotten the ball ever. Come on, man.
Ever? Come on, see.
He gets the ball in the post. Because he's not confident in his post-ups. That is a problem. He's getting the touch. He might not be getting a lot.
He's getting the touches? Are you watching the same game?
He's getting enough to make a move to the basket, Jay.
He's getting 5 touches a game. If you get 5 touches a game, CP, let's be real. You get 5 touches a game. If for you, for a good game for you, if you're getting 5 touches a game, is if you go to the line once.
A small window is still a window, though, JL. That's the argument. Listen,
that's what I'm saying.
I know a small window is just a window, but you're expecting too much out of a 9 minute span.
Bro, I can't expect a free throw attempt. I can't expect an aggressive move to the basket on one
of
your touches.
I'm not saying don't expect it at all, but I'm saying I'm just saying you expect them to do way too much in a nine minute game window.
Let me ask you this then. Then what is the excuse for when, let's say, Randle or let's say Barrett has the ball in his hand, he takes a shot up. I've seen Obi watch that ball go into the air, hit the basket, hit the rim, bounce off, and he doesn't even try to get a second or third. He's watching the play happen. Move your feet, play some defense. That's why Tibbs is always yelling at him.
Now we're talking about rebounds.
You gotta do, but I'm saying.
You're talking about free throw attempts.
I'm just saying, to get
him going a little bit, bro. The guards are not doing a great job of getting him involved. It's not IQ, it's not Burks. They're out to get theirs. They're not exactly distributing it to him, and most of the time he's getting it at the three-point line. I'm saying when he's getting it in the post like he does, a lot of times he's not confident in his post up. And that's why he's resetting it back to the guards and then trying to get a pick and roll where they're not going to find him anyway. So I'm saying when you get that opportunity, make a move to the basket.
I'm just saying he's had opportunities, but I feel like he has to play perfect to be happy or for people to be like he's doing something. Because last week, just a week ago, he was getting the ball in the post and we were saying, oh, his post game is coming along. And then this week, you don't get the ball as much. And now he's a complete, like, not trying again. It's like, no, he doesn't have the same opportunities as everybody else.
But the thing is, I agree with that. And that's been a criticism of mine, which is why I'm so for him going to the G League, because I feel like he's not going to be able to develop. But there's so many different aspects of the game where Obi can do more and he's just not. I don't know if it's because he's not confident, if he's not comfortable, if he feels lost, but there's no reason for you not to play defense. There's no reason for when you have the ball in your hand not to go up aggressive. There's no reason for you not to get free throws. There's no reason for your spacing.
Yeah, if you're talking defense, that's different.
There's no reason for any of that. It's not like you're not playing.
If you're talking defense, that's a whole different animal.
Right, let me get to the phones. Let me get to the phones. I don't want to make it the OB hour. Anthony from Florida, what's going on? He didn't even play that much. Anthony, what's going on?
Shade.
Yo, what's good, fam? Yo, I just want to let y'all know I love this show, yo. I love y'all. PT, JL, Ashley. I rock with y'all all the day.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Definitely appreciate it.
I always watch every game. I'm all 82. Like, I rock with.
No doubt.
And just to go off the conversation with Obi, all I'm asking with them 9-10 minutes that he's getting on that high ball screen when he's giving that handoff, make him walk to the rim because he's wide open every time.
Thank you. But that's all I'm saying, bro. Make a move to the basket. That's it.
That's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
And then my point was I like the fact that Tibbs is bringing out everybody a good thing in him. Look, Frank getting in the game, he came in ready. Every time he's been in since then, he's coming in ready to shoot. We ain't never seen the confidence out of Frank like that.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's the thing that Tibbs are doing with everybody. So I'm saying, okay, we got to be a little patient with everybody that's playing. Even that OB, and I even like how Bob's playing. You see, he's a great defense. We wouldn't have respected that last year.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't hit any shots. But at the same time, we didn't have the coach to give him confidence. Hey, take the shot when you open. It's a difference.
Yeah, I agree. Appreciate the call. And he called Bullock, he called him like his like superhero or something, Tibbs, on the post game. He was very complimentary.
He's called, like, underrated.
Yeah, he was very complimentary of Bullock. So, something. So, he spoke very highly of Bullock. He spoke very highly of him to the point where you figure Kev is no chance of getting in this rotation. Yeah.
And even us too. Like, I'm not even gonna lie, because at the beginning of the season, I wanted Alec Burks to start until Alec Burks started, and then you kind of realize what Bullock brought to the table. You just saw the defense, which is not anywhere near as good. You know what I mean? When Alec Burks started versus Reggie Bullock. So, I mean, it's one of those things. When he's not scoring, he still has an effect on his team. So, I mean, I get it though. I'm Mac though. Reggie Bullock, you do your thing. You be doing your thing, even though you don't hit all the shots. You miss your shots in the third and fourth quarter. That first two quarters, you nice. Yeah, but you know, he still affect the game on the defensive.
He's on, and you know,
it's all love over here.
Randall and Bullock definitely have a chemistry going, and you know, when he gets it in early, that's about it. But again, his defensive flexibility, as Tip said, he's always guarding the toughest guy on the perimeter, which he's right. He may not be a lockdown defender all the time, but again, it's you understand why Bullock gets the minutes that he does. You just wish that he converts more on his shots. Just wish he converts more shots. Today was 4-for-13, 2-for-9 from downtown.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I bet you, if you look, most of the shots that went down were probably in the first two quarters.
Let's go to. Let me salute some super chats real quick. Salute to Tim Kim. Says, good win. Do you guys think a trade will happen before the second half of the season starts? I don't know. I think they'll probably make it up to the deadline, and we'll see what happens. Eric Booker says, I got blocked by ESPN The Jump on Twitter, but I don't care. Ooh. Less junk in my timeline, that more Knicks. Hilarious. Was that the real jump? Because I know there's like a fake jump. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't even know if I follow them or not.
I'm not sure. Probably not. I probably don't.
Why? Did you diss the Tracy Morgan?
No, definitely not. I think people were definitely advocating for Tracy Morgan on the show. A lot of people
were... people were dissing Rachel Nichols.
Oh, yes.
Not Tracy Morgan.
Oh, yeah, Rachel Nichols. Yeah. That would make sense.
That makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. But, yeah, we should definitely... Tracy Morgan, if you're listening, man, we'd love to have you on the show for sure.
Heck yeah.
Definitely. The Rhyme Animal Chuck D sends a super chat. He says, CP and Max. When CP said he couldn't hear, I was thinking Ali Liston when Liston glove ointment went in the eyes two rounds. Still couldn't stop the W. Yeah. They tried all type of tricks, Chuck. They had four guys in the back, three producers and Max, and I still had to break them off, man. I still had to ether him on his own show to the point where they had to go and call Skip Bayless. Get Skip Bayless on the phone. We need reinforcements. I think Skip just read up with Fox. I think he just got the bag with Fox. So they're going to be stuck with Max, man. They're going to be stuck with Max. We'll see if we get the call back for next week. Let's go down to the A, Chris from ATL. What's going on, bro?
Hey, what's going on, brothers? I just want to insist this too because I wanted to show y'all all love. Quick thing. I used to be a former coach, and I'm real cool with Lloyd from Atlanta, the coach that got fired.
Lloyd Pierce.
Yeah. Oh,
now, here's the thing. The thing is, a lot of people, they're dealing with a lot of young guys, and they don't want to listen to the coach. Now, Pierce has too much power in New York, and what's going to happen is you keep yelling at Obi, watch him go to another team and go off, right? Okay. Same thing will happen with Atlanta. Trae Young, you got on him, now he turned on the coach, right? So you're going to hurt somebody on the Knicks, and they're all going to turn on Tibbs. And in a year or so, everybody jumping on him now, but
I mean,
they're gonna get this man out.
I appreciate it, bro, but I mean, we don't have any impact on that. I mean, if he's watching the show, I don't, you know what I'm saying? If that's what he's saying, but
I think, all right, so for me, it's like, we've seen it imploded, right? It imploded for the Timberwolves because of the guy's character, right? Like, it's, I feel like Tim's voice kind of wore them down, and they didn't want to listen. I feel like the character guys we have here are a lot different, you know what I mean? And I think the Knicks did a good job of bringing people in here who are workhorses and who can take coaching. And it starts with Julius Randle and on down. And also, you know, even Mike Woodson and Kenny Payne, like all those guys kind of have that feel like they're tough guys, but they also put their arm around you. So I don't think that's going to necessarily happen here. And I think OB is a little bit tougher than that as well. So I don't think that's going to happen personally.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I don't foresee that.
Yeah, I agree with that also. And I think the difference with the Trae Young situation is they're on a mediocre losing team.
Yeah.
And I think they have been with that coach for a while, and that also adds to the levels of frustration.
The pressure,
not being heard. It's almost like a pressure cooker, and each loss just adds more pressure, and then it just explodes. I think the difference on the Knicks, is that we are winning. You know, there is signs of life in so many different areas, and I think that Obi's made for New York. I think he can play in New York. He's from New York. I think he's tough, and I think that he's able to understand that Tibbs is tough on him because if you look around you, there's so much talent and so much potential. And if you want to play in New York, you have to play to the same level of the other men on the court, other men on your team. So I think it's a difference in when you're being yelled at by your coach, where it's coming from. You know, you don't want to hear your coach screaming at you when you're losing every game by 30 points and you're putting up 50 points a game. You know what I mean? But it's different when you're winning games and your coach is yelling at you. You know it's from a good place. It's a place of, listen, I want you to be great and you're not great. So I think it's two totally different conversations.
I think with the Hawks and the Timberwolves, number one, they were both set back by a ton of injuries. You know, Hawks went out and made a huge free agent splash. They got Gallinari, Rondo, Bogdanovich, all these guys.
Expectations were high.
Yeah, well, the expectations were high. That's what happens. The expectations were high and they did not deliver. Trae Young is Trae Young. He's good, but you know, is he the franchise? We'll see. And obviously the Hawks ownership is you know, submitting to his demands and things of that nature. And they want to make sure that he's happy. So in order to avoid any type of disgruntled star situation later on. So they made their move. Maybe it was a little bit early. And with the Timberwolves, same way. Karl Anthony Towns was out for a long time. Now you have D'Angelo Russell out. So now you have the young guys. You don't have quality vets on the team. Cat is there. He's your superstar quality vet. But you have a lot of young pieces. You have a lot of rookies and not a lot of talent. And that's what happens. So when you see Tibbs coming out with these rotations and playing all these guys and they're still winning, he wants that record to be pristine, man. Yep. He's like, listen, I'm going to play the kids. But I'm going to play the kids that are ready to play.
Yep.
And I want to win. I want to win. A lot of times we talk out of both sides. We want to see all these kids, but we can't stand the losing. And then after a year and a half, the coach is gone and we reset again. It's a fine balance. It's a very fine balance.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely right.
So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for your squad. A couple more super chats came in. Tiger Side said, if Frail Prince had Peyton's selfishness ingrained in him, I could get behind him more often instead of waiting when he crumbles. Tease continues. Sheesh, so 3 for 3 from downtown. He was not impressed with the French Prince's offensive outburst.
They treated him like Corner Kev, you know? Corner Kev got hot and then he ain't passing the ball for the rest of the game?
It got quiet, man. It got super quiet for my man Frank. But
passing the ball.
He played, he came out, and he started well.
Yeah.
Salute to Lloyd Banks in the chat. We got Banks in the chat. Salute to Banks checking in. Appreciate it. Chuck D says, salute ovation for NYK fans and CPS JLs for a brilliant first half of Knicks Nation 72. I've been a Knicks fan since 1967. This is a rare feeling. Win, lose, or draw, the 150% effort. It's an organic culture. Julius Tibbs and NYC tough. It's true, man. You know, that's the main sentiment of a lot of people is just that this is just different.
Yeah.
This is just different. And it is. You know, they come to play every night. They may not win every game because sometimes they just get out talented. But the defense has been carrying them. Their effort has been carrying them. And it's been a pleasant surprise, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure, man. The culture has changed. The habits are on a nightly basis. We only had one embarrassing loss, really, this season, which was the Spurs. I don't even remember last time we even lost like that. Maybe I have PTSD. And I just forgot. But our whole thing, we completely turned around our season, man. We're just playing completely better. Hopefully, we can carry that into the second half of the season.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I always say whenever I go on any of these shows to talk about the Knicks, and they ask me what the biggest difference is, or what one of the biggest differences of this team is, and the attitude. You know, the difference is that this team, despite whatever holes they may have, and there's a lot of things that we have that we need to work on and that we need to add to our team and that we need to get better at. But I think the difference is that this team just really, when they step on that court, they truly believe that they can win regardless of who they're playing. And I think that they believe that regardless of where they are in the East and all the talent that is out there, they can compete with the best of them. And that's an attitude difference. And that makes all the difference sometimes when you're playing, because one of my favorite books is Relentless. And it's written by the trainer who trained Kobe Bryant. And he's worked with D Wade and a bunch of other legends in the game. And one of the things that made Kobe so great was he also trained Jordan at one point. One of the things that made these guys so great is before they stepped on the court, they already believed that they could beat you. They already had it in their mind. And it's a mental thing before it's a physical thing. And this team has completely changed their mental space. And if they can continue on this trajectory and then they start actually getting the pieces that they need, this team is going to be dangerous. Yeah. And I say that now.
For sure. For sure. Another question I have for you guys and for everybody in the chat. As we go into the second half, you know, what is the biggest storyline? What are you most looking forward to, or what are you most concerned about in this second half, man? JL, so I'll go to you first. What do you think?
Oh, man, the biggest storyline for me, man, I have a few, but I'm curious to see who's going to be here. That's what I really want to know. The trade deadline is March 25th. You've seen Derrick Rose be a starter. We've seen Frank look like he's going to be, you know, out the rotation to back in the rotation. We have these question marks with certain roles here. We feel like we want to shoot three-pointers better, even though it seems like we're getting better over the last week. So, for me, I'm just trying to figure out, like, who is going. It's Austin Rivers, for me, is probably the sure thing. But what are we getting in return? Are we going to package a second pick and another person? To me, that's the biggest storyline in my head. Like, who is staying and who is going?
Ash, how about you?
Okay, so that was mine. So thanks for taking it. What are the other options now that are left?
I mean, you have a ton. You have the point guard rotation, Rose, Peyton, Frank, trades, obviously.
Definitely for me, I would say my second thing definitely is Peyton and Frank. I'm curious to see what Tibbs is going to do with that. I'm curious to see if his stubbornness gets in the way, if his favoritism gets in the way of what's better for the team. yes, Peyton had his night, but just like the ex who texts you, hey, big head, and goes back to his or her old ways within a week, I think that Peyton is going to, that love affair is going to be short-lived. He's going to be going back, just making ridiculous mistakes. And I just think that Frank has shown that he is just a threat on so many different ends of that, or so many different sides of that basketball, rather. Yeah. And I just think that he deserves the shot. We've already seen what Peyton does. Let's see what Frank can do with it, with the team in the second half.
Agreed. And on JL's points on the comings and goings, you know, Ian Begley did report on SNY today that the Knicks see value in Oladipo. I don't.
No Oladipo
for me. I've been consistent with that. That's not the move, but I just keep thinking if they can get him on that cheap, they may roll it. Like, if it's a Kev and, you know, 2021 protected, I don't know. 2022 protected, I don't know, man. I just don't. For a rental piece, I wouldn't want to trade one of the young guys.
I wouldn't even do a Kev, man. It's just. And I just keep saying, he just occupies the same space as RJ.
As RJ.
It's too much of a redundant piece. Yeah. Like, if he was a three-point shooter, cool. But what his best three-point percentage was, what, maybe 36% or something from three?
Right.
And right now, he's at like the 29% right now. So, you know, we just started to get better from the three-point line. We just got to hit 13%. And to add him in there, you know, instead of Reggie Bullock in the starting lineup, because he will be starting.
Yeah,
it's gonna look great. It's gonna look crazy. It might look crazy. The only way to me it worked out is if RJ Barrett continues on this pace of hitting that three, and then we kind of make him a spot up sort of, and Oladipo more of a playmaker. But I'm not even sure if it's not a perfect fit for me in my head.
Agreed. I think for me, my primary concern is the schedule, man. Schedules is going to be a dogfight right now. It is absolutely going to be a dogfight. Knicks are sitting in fifth, 19 and 18. You have the Celtics right there, 19 and 17. So fourth is a half game out. But look at this. Hornets, Heat, Raptors, Bulls, yep. Pacers. All, you know, Pacers are 1.5 games out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 1.5 game, 2 games out, sorry. So Knicks are a half game behind fourth and 2 games ahead of 10th.
Right, so it's important that we win our individual matchups too. You know what I mean? Like, you know how we have, we've beaten the Pacers more times than they beat us.
Right.
It's gonna be really important that the teams below us,
the Miami game, right now, Raptors, yep. Hornets, who have been playing very well.
Yeah,
Raptors, we have, should beat us the first game. Go ahead, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to win the series matchups for these teams.
Have to win the series
when it gets matchups. To the end. That could be really important when it comes to seeding and play-ins and things of that nature.
Ideally, bro. You want to hover between fourth and fifth all year.
Yeah.
And that's going to be hard because I think they won't fall past the playing game. I think at the very least they'll be in it. At the very least. You hope. Because even Atlanta's only 2.5 games out. Atlanta's in 11th.
Right. But they're imploding right now. So we have more stability to be able to sustain it.
But ideally, you want to stay fourth, fifth. Get in and then be able to make some noise in a 4-5. But if you crack 6-7-8, you know, you got Philly, Brooklyn, and the Bucks at the top.
Right.
You're happy you make it, but you know.
Yeah,
I'm serious to get through.
I'm most scared of the Heat because I feel like the Heat is out of, and all those teams are a fake seven. You know what I mean?
Yeah. right. And Miami's a tough matchup for us, man.
For real.
They're a tough matchup. So definitely the schedule for me. And then I would say, you know, can this defense maintain its edge?
Mm-hmm.
Can this defense maintain its edge, in particular from opponent three-point field goal percentage? Because they were number one in the league. But again, it's not an aggressive three-point defense. I think they've been, you know, I think they've lucked out in a couple of these games and benefited from poor shooting nights. Not always. Their rotations are also crisp. But can that hold up?
Yeah, I feel like it depends on the team, man. The teams you play. Like the Spurs game, the Spurs have multiple shooters. You know what I mean? They have eight guys who average double figures. So when a team is passing the ball that frequently, it's going to be hard for teams like the Knicks to shut that down consistently. So when you're looking at the second half of the schedule, you have to kind of look like, who are the shooters on these squads who have multiple 3-point shooters, and that's probably the teams we're going to have a lot of problems with.
Yeah,
holding that 3-point percentage down like we usually do.
Yeah, because also
conversations about Drummond and the Knicks being the front runners to land him.
I can't buy that.
Drummond. I don't know.
Listen, there's been multiple people and multiple conversations and multiple reports, if you will. It's not the first time that I heard it that the Knicks are the front runners. You know, he is from New York. From Mount Vernon. Mm-hmm. And I've had conversations with him, not recently, but before, and the Knicks are definitely a team that he's always had his eye on, and now apparently those reports are starting to pick up steam. So I don't know. I'm not quite sure how official they are, especially with so many other teams gunning for him. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
I believe he wanted to be here years ago when we had cap space. I definitely remember him being one of the rumors.
Yeah.
But right at this, as of today, the way our team is constructed, it's just, I don't know. Like, it doesn't make sense long term.
Right.
Short term, like, cool. Like, to me, he's like a, like, if you want, like, put him on like a guy who wants, a team wants to go over the hump, you know, to win it all, because you just don't know if he's going to stay or leave.
And exactly.
When you, one of those teams, you're willing to give up a pick or a second rounder or something to have you go on the team to see if you can face a big team like the Lakers or the Clippers.
Yeah.
We're not one of those teams, man. We're just a team trying to make it to the playoffs. Right, so to give up a pick for a rental right now doesn't make sense for us.
I'm not with it. Let's hear what Sal has to say, man. Sal, what are you most concerned about for the second half?
Honestly, I'm not really concerned. I like the core that we have, and I know we do need some pieces, but I also believe that we'll mess up the flow of the team right now if we do get rid of anybody. I think we really should wait to the end of the season, see what we have right now, and then make a decision at the end of the season, because you see, like, even Nikina, he really didn't play. He only played 2 games, but he came out firing on the Thibodeau like he never has in his whole career. So obviously something's sparking. I think we just need to wait and see what we have before we make any big moves and just stay to where we are. You know, we have our center out that, you know, he's going to come back. Noel, he's holding it down right now. So we just got to wait and see, man. Don't trade nobody. Just let these boys gel together.
All right. Appreciate the call, Sal. I hear that. I'm with you 100%, man. I'm definitely with you there. Let's hear from our guy, Angel from Philly. What's going on, Angel?
Hey, CP. How you doing, bro?
Good, bro. How you feeling, bro?
I'm doing good. I feel good. First thing, before I get to my points, man, I just wanted to say that I listen to you guys every day. And, you know, I really appreciate you guys. It's kind of hot right now in the city. So listening to you guys, you know, it's really a blessing. And I even had my mom listening to the show, and she was ready to run through a brick wall seeing CT take down Max.
Let's go. So, let's go. Know, I like that. Family affair. I like that.
But my mom, you know, she also said, you know, she's going to kill me. So she wanted to make sure I said this. But she was like, if you guys ever come to Philly, you guys always get a meal on her. So
all right.
Hey, that's good.
Appreciate the hospitality, man.
Hi, Mom.
And she's a big Axie fan, too. So I just had to throw that in there.
All right.
But, hey, listen, I think for the storyline for the second half, can we stay mentally tough and can we, you know, keep the defense up? Because, you know, we play the Bucks, then we play OKC, and then we play Brooklyn and the Sixers. So we have to add shooting. My honest opinion, I would love to see Buddy Hield in this team, because that would be perfect. If you can't get someone like that, I think we should just stay patient and maybe do some low-cost moves. I don't want to see Oladipo in New York. You know, he can't stay healthy. And I don't want to see Drummond either, because we're getting ready to get Mitch back.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's just my thoughts. But as far as the game, I'm really impressed with RJ. You know, he looks real poised out there. Obviously, Julius Randle's doing his thing. But I'm just more impressed with RJ, because last year, you know, we didn't know what he was going to be. But now, you know, he looks poised. You know, he's playing hard. You know, and I would like to see the ball in his hand more, because he's really been shooting good. He's been shooting over 50% from three. So, you know, I just want to see him keep growing, and we'll just see how it goes, man. But I just want to say thank you guys for taking my call, and I appreciate it, y'all.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks, Angel. All right. And Mama Angel, appreciate that. Appreciate
Road
it.
Trip to Philly, guys.
Road trip to Philly, yeah. No doubt. JJ from Brooklyn. JJ, what's your second half storyline that you're watching, bro?
No, what's going on? Well, first, CP, I gotta thank you, man, for killing that Clown Max, man.
No doubt, bro.
That was absolutely epic.
Yeah,
you hit him with what he said about Eddie Curry. And what was the quote you dropped on, man? There's no honor in front running.
Yeah, no honor in front running.
You're the man for that.
Yeah,
man. Thank you.
Easy. Appreciate
but,
you.
But yeah, man, the second half. I mean, the thing, like you said, man, CP, this is schedule. You know, it's gonna be a beast. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you said, when you mentioned the teams where you know that are near us, the Pacers and the Celtics and the Raptors. You know, these teams are gonna get it together.
And
the
you
gotta
play
half,
them.
So
you gotta play
it's
them.
Gonna be tough, man. I think we probably get in the play-in, if I had to say. I think maybe we get around the 9th spot or the 10th spot. It's going to be rough with that schedule. And,
yeah.
But, man, what I wanted to ask you guys was Randall. I mean, I'm in, man. I've bought in. You know, maybe you want to see it one more year. Obviously, we're going to pick up that option. But my thing is, I think we should sign long-term and soon. So what numbers would you look at? I would probably go on top of next year's option we pick up. I would go probably 4 more years at like maybe 25, 26 million a year. What do you guys think about that?
I go about 25. I would go 25. Let me pull up Berman's. Yeah. Let me pull up Berman's tweet on. Are you looking for it? Just check that out. Well, Berman had a tweet out on it earlier.
I'd definitely do 25. That's easy.
Yeah.
That's an easy
decision. Yeah, he had a tweet out on it earlier and said that they could renegotiate and get him, I think, to like 4 years, 100, but just double check that.
It says under the CBA of Randall's final non-guaranteed year, Knicks can tack on 4 years, $106 million. It would to lock up Randall for what essentially would be $25 million per year.
Oh, do that. If he's
I would do that easily. I would do that
easily. Easy in my sleep.
Yeah. If he took it.
If he took it, because he can wait, right? I feel like this is also a rule that says if he waits until like a certain time, he can get more than that if he wanted to.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to look right now too. What the thing is?
If he took it, you know, he's talking all that. I love being a Nick. Is he gonna give us? I love being a Nick discount. You about to hit him with that Mutombo now?
Exactly.
Ain't no discounts covered. You know, hey, his business, man. He's earned it. He's earned his right to negotiate. So.
Extend him before All-Star game so he can start making his pitches.
Absolutely.
It says that he can wait. Yeah, if he did wait, he would probably be able to bank some more.
Sure. Okay. All right. Something to keep an eye out on. What are you guys thinking in the chat, man? What would you do with Randall? What type of deal would you give him? Leave a comment in the chat. Ash, we're at 850 likes. For this giveaway, we are at 850 likes.
We need my math's not good. 150.
We need 100. Yeah. Let's go 150.
Let's go.
Just 150, man.
So this is what the exact thing says, just so we have the exact number. It says under Randall's third year figure of $20 million, the Knicks could only offer him a top deal of 4 years, $106 million, that would extend starting in 2022 and 2023 at $24 million. Per Bobby Marks, who's like the cap guru. Yeah. So, okay. If nothing happens, then Randall stands to be a restricted free agent in 2022. So, those are the numbers, folks. Right.
Ari is somewhere passing out.
Yeah, Ari's somewhere passing out. Serge is trying to calculate his percentage. He wants his cut. You know what I'm saying? Serge is trying to see what he needs to, you know, send the nephew a DM to factor his percentage.
He's like, his marketing fee.
Yeah, he wants his 3%.